I want you to turn, please, to Romans chapter 3 in your Bible. Romans chapter 3. I want us to read. I'm gonna divide the thing up, but what I want to talk about this morning is basically in verse 23. And there are three things about verse 23 that I want to say to you right quick. I want you to see about sin. I want to talk to you about sin. And in verse 23, I want to show you that universality, or that sin is universal. You're no different from anyone else. Sin is universal. And then I want you to see the character of sin in the verse and the standard of judgment as a result of it. Now, I want you to read with me from verse 21. I want you to notice something. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Now watch. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The all of verse 23 is connecting the fact there is no difference. Because in the context, notice the context. Go to verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Paul, a Jew, said, are we that are Jews better than they, the Gentiles? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin. Now go back to verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now you think about it. There are those today that believe that if they act like a Jew, see, the Jew was given the law. The Jew was given the sacrifices in the law. He was given the priesthood and so forth. And the idea was to keep the commandments. So there are people today that believe if we will be as they were, if we'll keep the commandments, we'll go to heaven. But that's not the case at all. In other words, the Jew who had the sacrifices and the law and the priesthood and all those things still was not justified. And he was under sin and came short of the glory of God. So, you know what all this tells me? This tells me that there is not a standard in the world today that you can look at and see that person day in and day out and say, that's the way I must live, and if I live like that, I'll go to heaven. Are you listening to me? There isn't a mother in the world today that God Almighty gave to be your standard of perfection, and you say, my mother's a good woman, and if anybody's going to go to heaven, she will, and therefore I want to be like my mother so I can go to heaven. You probably just end up burning in hell. There is not a father, a daddy in the world today that God Almighty gave as a standard for you to say, I want to measure up to the life of my daddy. My daddy was a good man, and if anybody's in heaven, my daddy will be there, and on and on and on. So I'm going to be like my daddy so I can go to heaven. No, that won't work. There isn't a preacher in the world today, including and especially yours truly right here, that God gave to be a standard for you and say, well, Brother Moore's a good fella, but he isn't. Say, Brother Moore's a good man, and on and on, and if I'll be like Brother Moore, I'm bound to go to heaven. No, you be like Brother Moore, without Jesus Christ, you end up in hell. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now I want you to read again with me and notice something about these passages. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and the latter part, there is no difference. Verse 23. for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, this is absolutely amazing. And I may repeat this later on. But I get to verse 24, and you know what I find there? I find that with no inward change, no outward change, an individual is justified, righteous, and ready for heaven. So you ought not to preach that. That'd cause somebody in this room that might believe that they can go to heaven and be bad. Oh, I wish I could convince you of that. I wish I could convince you of that everyone in this room is bad. And the only way for you to get to heaven is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way for you to be justified is by the faith of Christ. The only way for you to be righteous is by the faith of Christ. And that righteousness must be the righteousness of God Himself, or it is of no value whatsoever. It's self-righteousness. Now, go back with me, please, to Psalm. And look in Psalm chapter 9. Sin. That's the issue here. In Psalm chapter 9, notice in verse... let's start in verse 17 because of my time. Just one verse. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell. He didn't say the drunk will be turned into hell. He didn't say the tobacco user will be turned into hell. He didn't say murderers will be turned into hell. He didn't say adulterers will be turned into hell. And hell, no. He said the wicked all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none good, no, not one. There is not a just person on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The heart is deceitful above all things, listen, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart is wicked before God, and all that stuff, all that smoke about, I opened up my heart and asked Jesus Christ to come in, is baloney. Jesus Christ doesn't desire to dwell in the hearts of wicked people. The United States is like it's on a slide, sliding into hell. And it's getting faster every day. Somebody, somewhere, is saying to us, the United States is a Christian nation. While all the time, the United States is denying the God of creation. The United States is denying the Christ of redemption. The United States is denying the blood of redemption, and on and on and on. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The United States has forgotten God, and they don't want you to be reminded, they don't want you to remind them of them. One man made the remark out at the racetrack, after, in other words, in view of my coming out there on Friday night and saying what I say there in the prayer and so forth. He said, I come out here to drink beer and watch racing, not hear somebody stand up and preach the Bible. I don't want to be preached to. The United States is doing everything in its power. Some leader somewhere, our leaders somewhere, are doing everything in their power to cause your children to forget God. So they say, well, they can't pray in the schools. They can't read their Bible in schools, and on and on and on. This nation is going to be turned into hell. Turn, please, to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. In Isaiah 65, notice verse 11. God is talking to His chosen people. He said, but you're they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop. And you know, that reminds me of somebody today preparing for the United Nations soldiers in the United States. For that troop and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword. You shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but you shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit, and you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. For the Lord God shall slay thee and call this his servants by another name, and on and on and on. You know something, folks? That is some kind of an indictment to make against a nation of people who had been given the law and the sacrifices and the priesthood and so forth. And then look at this country and the world today in the light of those people. We're in a mess. Turn, please, to Jeremiah. We're talking about sin. Jeremiah chapter 23. In Jeremiah 23, notice in verse 33. I want to go back to verse, I'm sorry. Verse 31. The Lord said, behold, I'm against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. In other words, if you hear a preacher today say, the Lord saith, check and see what verse it is that he read. You see, the Lord didn't say anything that you hear today except that which is read out of the Bible. Verse 32, behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies, by their likeness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit the people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. For as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. You know, that's a riot when you think about that. I turn on the television and watch the preachers, and you know what they're talking about? This terrible burden of the Lord, while they deny the book that's really got the burden of the Lord in it. And they haven't found out what it is yet. Notice in verse 38, but since you say the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because you say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, you shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, I will forsake you, and the city that I give you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, a perpetual shame, which shall not be forgotten. Think about it. If God Almighty forsook his own people, if God Almighty forsook the city with the temple in it that God said, I will not bless your sacrifices outside of this temple. I will bless you right here and only here. And God forsook that temple and had a heathen nation come in there and burn that city to the ground and burn that temple to the ground and carry that priesthood among the nations. How do you think you're going to escape the wrath of God? Say, well, I'll just live a better life. No, that will not satisfy the Lord. Now, what is the problem? You see, I keep on screaming this and yelling this, and I've done everything but get up here and pour gasoline on myself and set myself on fire, and people still won't see the truth. What is the problem? Watching television, dancing, and playing cards? What is the problem? Going to the honky-tonks and whatever? What is the real problem? It's a religious problem, folks. Don't you understand that? It isn't the problem. It's in the barroom. Say, well, he said it's all right for me to go to the barroom. I didn't say any such thing. I'm just trying to tell you that's not where the problem lies. Where does the problem lie? In the religious assemblies, in the religious homes, in the religious schools, and so forth. What is sin anyway? Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Believe the book. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And the Lord spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Who is your God? I mean, in honesty and sincerity, who is your Lord anyway? Who is your God anyway? Do you honestly worship God? If you do worship God, why is it that you're not in a place where the Word of God is preached every Sunday and every other opportunity you have? Why not? To Brother Moore, I'm a Christian. Oh, get out. Christians are people that have been crucified, buried, and risen again, judicially speaking. Christians are people that Jesus Christ paid for their sins on Calvary. Therefore, God identified with them with the death of Christ. Christians are people that are identified in his burial and identified in his resurrection. Christians are people that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him and him alone for their salvation and appreciate him and love him and want to hear his word taught. People saying, I'm a Christian, and they never, as they say, darken the doors of a church building. They never go where the Word of God is preached. What do they love? Well, they love things, the things of this world. They love the beach. They love the games. They love the things, and they care nothing for the Lord. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Who is your God? Yourself? Do you put self before God? You're an idolater. Look in verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto the thousand of them that love me and keep my commandments. Think about it. I very well can be talking to somebody right now that your personal standard in this world today is somebody that's a relative or a friend or whatever that goes into a temple on Sunday morning or whenever, and they come to an aisle and bow down and then walk down to the front and get on their knees and look up here at a statue of Mary or a supposedly statue of Christ and do the sign of the cross and say a few words and so forth. That is in total contradiction to the truth of this book. And God said, thou shalt not do this. And you've got them as your standard. And people have the audacity to come to a place like this right here and say, well, I don't go there because Brother Moore is mean, and I don't like the tone of his voice, and I don't like the look on his face, and so forth, while they themselves love and affiliate with and admire somebody who bows down before an image over and over and over again, in spite of the fact that God said, that is wicked, and I will not tolerate that. Come on, folks, there are thousands of people, and you may know some of them, and they may be your loved ones, and they're going to burn in hell unless you wake up and get up and get busy and do something to remind them and make them know that lost people are lost people the world over. It doesn't matter if they're communist, Chinese, Japanese, or whatever, unless they trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're all the same in God's eyes. There are two kinds of people in the world right now, the lost and the saved. Make no mistake. Now, go back with me to Romans. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin is universal. Romans 5 says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Look back in chapter 1. In chapter 1, notice in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Why? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They changed the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins, a means of salvation, and changed that to say that if you believe in Jesus Christ and keep the commandments, you'll go to heaven. If you believe in Jesus Christ and get baptized, you'll go to heaven. If you believe in Jesus Christ and live a good moral life, you'll go to heaven. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. And there are people by the thousands, and I very likely can be talking to some right now, and your affection and your love is to a bunch of creatures today because you believe they're good people and you leave God out of the picture and don't want anybody to talk to you about him. Well, if that's your case, unless you get saved, unless you trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you will burn in hell, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And it shall happen. So I don't like that. Boy, I don't like it either. I don't like it either. Notice back in the passage, Romans chapter 1, verse 26. You want to know why homosexuality is rampant? You want to know why they just had a big meeting of queers here in Florida a week or so ago? Look at the passage. For this cause, because people deny the truth of God, turned it into a lie. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of error which was meet or right or proper, and on and on and on. Why are homosexualities homosexuality, homosexuals, I'll get right in a minute, marrying homosexuals in America today? Because the religious system has denied the God of this Bible, turned the truth into a lie, and they worship idols rather than the Lord. And you say, well, they're good people. They're not good people. Say they go to church every Sunday. Don't make any difference. They live in the church building. They're not good people. You know who are good? Those that are good with the righteousness of God imputed unto them because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else is. They're righteous. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, sin is universal. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look in chapter 2, I apologize, chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we're sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Boy, I can just see the wheels turning, the cogs spinning in somebody's mind, and thinking in their mind about that low-down preacher standing up there right now judging everybody, and look what the verse says about him. Amen. Amen. And the only way that E.C. Moore will escape the judgment of Almighty God is because I've already been judged, found guilty, condemned, and put to death in another. My substitute is Jesus Christ. If you do not have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're doomed. You're as sure bound for hell as you're waiting for me to finish right here. Sin is universal. That's you, that's your mama, that's your daddy, your grandma and your grandpa, and that's your children, your grandchildren. All have sinned. No exception to the rules. How about the Pope? Especially the Pope. He's probably the instigator in many cases right now. In fact, I see stuff that he writes every once in a while, and I wouldn't allow Claude to be involved. And by the way, I might mention to you, I'm sorry to bring a sad note over this, but Claude has left us. He's gone to his reward in the sky. Claude is not there to meet me at night now, Ralph, when we come home, go running out there and talking to us and whatever. He's gone. Sad. You know, folks, there are none that are good. No, not one. Sin is universal. That isn't all. Notice in the verse its character. All have sinned and come short. The character of sin is that it caused you to be a failure. You're a failure. I'm telling you, you're a failure. Even if you put the law up here and you say, okay, I've got the law there. There is my standard. Great. The standard then that you're looking at to measure yourself by condemns you. You look at that and that condemns you because you have come short. You've missed the mark. You haven't been able to accomplish what you set out to accomplish. You're not good. The character of sin, it fails, folks. Why are you a failure at being good? Because you are bad by nature. You were born in sin. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. You were born in sin. You are a sinner. Why do you commit sin? Because you're a sinner. Say, but Brother Moore, I can't help it. Amen. And amen. And God knew that and gave a sacrifice for you at Calvary. Why will you not receive the sacrifice? All have sinned and come short. Turn in your Bible, please, to 1 John. In 1 John, notice in chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. 1 John 3, verse 4 says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 17. 1 John 5, 17, "All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death." Sin is unrighteousness. All unrighteousness is sin. In other words, failure to do what the law said is sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says in Romans 14, verse 23, "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The faith is that which is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatsoever is not of faith, whatsoever is not of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that you're trusting in for salvation is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So there's the universality of, I guess that's a proper term, of sin, the character of sin, and then its standard of judgment. You miss the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In just plain, ordinary, common, simple terms, what is the glory of God? Turn to John. I look in John chapter 11. You can't miss this. In John chapter 11, notice, in verse 39, Jesus Christ goes out to the tomb of Lazarus. And in verse 39, Jesus said, "Take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Well, what are they going to see? They're going to see the resurrection of a dead man. They're going to see a man that's been dead for 4 days and stinks, stand upon his feet and come out of the tomb. That's what they're going to see. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You ever expect to be resurrected? You ever expected to go up to heaven? You ever expected to be reunited with those that are your loved ones that are saved? Then there is one way and only one way to do that, and that is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him as your Lord and Savior. There is no other way that can ever happen to you. All have sinned. You are a sinner. And come short. You missed the mark. You haven't been good. And come short of the glory of God. You can be saved this morning. God would have all men to be saved and come under the... And on and on and on. You can be saved right now. Now I want you to think for just a second with me, and then I'm going to shut up. I want you to think absolutely, seriously about yourself. Yourself. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not." When in your life, look back and think now, when is there a day in time, a day that you remember in your life? Maybe you'd been in Sunday school from the cradle row, but when was there a day in your life you came to the place and you said, "Hold the phone, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. Even though my mom and daddy are Christians, even though my brothers and my sister are Christians, even though I've tried the best I know how, but I see now I'm lost." When was there a day as a lost sinner? And recognizing that you were a lost sinner, when did you at that point say, wait a minute, what can I do? Well, I know the answer to it. Jesus Christ died for my sins. And in that frame of mind, that day you trusted Christ. Now, I'm talking to somebody, you do not remember that happening in your life. Hence, you do not know why it is that you dislike this kind of thing so much. I know exactly why you dislike it, because you're in that category, and you cannot remember ever having trusted Christ as your Savior. Christ came to die for sinners. Christ sought the lost. When were you're lost? And as a lost sinner, you received Christ. You trusted Him. You believed the gospel. I talk to people all the time. You're Christian? Yeah. Would you please tell me, what is the gospel? They say, well, good news. Boy, it sure is. What is it? Huh? What is the good news? Well, it's the Word of God. Well, sure, it's in the Word of God. What is it? Find out they don't know. See, I've been a Christian for 20 years. Oh, you have? What is the gospel? Well, I don't really know. Well, how could you be a Christian if you didn't know what the gospel is? If the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, the Bible said it is. How could you be saved by the power of God and not even know what it is? Believe the gospel and I shall be saved. If you don't even know what it is, how can you do it? Well, you couldn't. Will you now? Will you this day receive Christ as your Savior? Will you now, believing that He died for your sins, and that He was buried and that God raised Him from the dead, believing that He paid for all your sins, none left unpaid, believing on Him as your Savior, will you trust Him right now? Keeping in mind, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ. You know what that tells me? Has nothing to do with some tremendous moral fixing of something inside. Yeah. It has nothing to do with changing the flesh. It has to do with believing on someone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And to say, Father, we thank You for this privilege. Thank You for the opportunity to be here. We thank You for the people who have come. And we pray for that person right now. That individual that's seeking and turning this over in their mind and trying to find a place that maybe they have trusted You. We pray that You would shut them in, hem them up, and make them see it's never happened. And right now, may they trust Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.